We're going to be talking about Free to Choose Network. Bob, come on up. All righty. Bob Chedister. Had to ask him. Thank you very much.
Here you go. Tell him who you are and what you do.
Yeah, that name fools a lot of people. This is the first gun rights policy conference I've attended. I've attended an awful lot of other conferences and various seminars, etc. And I ask you to join me, at least, I think you'll agree, with my assessment, and that is that Alan and his team have done an absolutely superb job of making this not only a active, punctual, but also extremely informative activity. Now, in a certain sense, it's appropriate for me to follow the past commentary. About 4 years ago, I had a meeting with Judge Douglas Ginsburg of the D.C. Circuit. He and I had become friends maybe 3 years before that. And in that conversation, I persuaded him to undertake the creation of a public television program, a series on the Constitution. In order to do so, we had to raise about $3 million, but I managed to do that. And it took us 3 years, and just a little bit of information about the television business. The editor, producer, directors of the program series recorded a total of about 140 hours of material and condensed it into the 3 hours that will be broadcast by public television in January of 2020. I'd like to now share with you an excerpt from that series on the Second Amendment, which we're rather proud of.
There are a lot of people out there that don't like us.
Generations of gay people have been beaten on the streets and sometimes killed, and the police can't get there.
I believe that the right to self-preservation is a human right.
We have this entire beautiful community, and I knew that I had to do something to help protect them.
Gay people have been terribly damaged because we're weak, we're easy targets. So I write this article saying, let's turn that around.
Block, jump.
Let's have pink pistols. And next thing I know, to my amazement and surprise, pink pistols chapters start popping up around the country.
The purpose of the pink pistols is to train people in the LGBT community.
I don't know what they call themselves, LGBT, whatever. I call them people.
To defend themselves with firearms or without.
I joined the Pink Pistols after Orlando.
There was no chapter here in San Diego. After Orlando, it's just snowballed. We've got over 300 members now.
I'm an abuse survivor. This is something that is so necessary to me.
So what's the number one priority for today?
Safety.
Exactly. So at any time out there that you feel that you are unsafe, just stop.
This day and age, we have a stigma. You're either pro-gun or you're not. The vision they have of the person that's pro-gun is the three-toothed hillbilly, you know, that's out there shooting beer cans in his front yard.
Probably about 60% of our members are openly LGBT.
You know, I'm a live and let live kind of guy.
Yes, it's fine that I'm straight. As long as I'm an ally, I can help out.
We are probably one of the most diverse groups of people that you'll ever hang out with. We have this common ground that allows us to help each other learn to protect each other and ourselves and go home and feel good about it.
So your group is great and you were right there. You know what I mean? But what you need to do...
In general, the LGBT community is pretty left-wing and generally anti-gun.
They recognize that people are getting killed and they think that the solution is to make it so no one has guns.
It's important for the bad guys to realize there's at least a couple of us that are out there that are armed.
I don't necessarily think the community is going to embrace this idea, but I'd like them to accept this idea.
A well-regulated militia
being necessary to the security of a free state.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Shall not be infringed.
Today, militia means the National Guard, but not in colonial times.
Back in the late 18th century, militia was understood to include every single able-bodied male in the country.
Most Americans who fought for the Revolution were militia.
Who the hell cares what a militia meant in 1789? What matters is whether people on the streets of Chicago ought to have guns in 2017.
The defense of one's home and family, the ability to hunt, all this gets lost in the argument over the significance of a well-regulated militia. The Second Amendment is the only one that comes with its own justification. In modern English, we would say, because of necessity for a free state to have a well-regulated militia, the people shall have the right to keep and bear arms. Here's where your high school grammar comes in handy. The justification is in the subordinate clause. The right is in the principal clause. So the right exists without regard to the justification.
So maybe they did mean that individuals should be able to keep firearms. But they meant that for an agrarian society in which firearms were barrel-loaded muskets and were made by artisans, not guns that were mass-produced, extremely deadly, and could be used in an urban environment. Now, would they have wanted their principle about individuals bearing arms to extend to today's society? Was that part of their meaning? Who knows?
For 2 years in this country, there was no Second Amendment. Nobody said, well, we better pass this Declaration of Rights. Because up until now, we have no freedom of speech, and we have no freedom of the press, and we have no right to keep and bear arms. And hooray, now that we've passed it, we've got it. Nobody said that. That's because that Declaration of Rights didn't change the rights that the people already had, and nobody claimed that they did.
But we the people are still arguing about exactly what that protects. Surely not shoulder-launched surface-to-air missiles, but what about...
In over 200 years, the Supreme Court had never interpreted to definitively determine whether it protects an individual right. And so I, along with two colleagues, put together a kind of a test case, a civil rights case.
That was District of Columbia versus Heller. In a landmark ruling in 2008, the Supreme Court upheld your right to own a gun, militia or not.
Even though they split 5-4, the difference is so much narrower. All 9 of them agreed, number one, individuals do have a right to gun ownership, therefore disagreeing with a lot of liberals in the political sphere. And number two, all 9 of them said, but it is subject to reasonable regulation, therefore disagreeing with a lot of conservatives out in the political sphere.
The district enacted a new statute, and it was challenged and came before my court. We upheld those portions of the law that increased public safety, like getting an eyesight test, and held unconstitutional the provisions that really just burdened gun ownership.
Whoa. Yes, that, I don't know if all the shooting didn't wake you up, that at least did. I want to quickly comment, because we've been running a little late, and that is this, that I have heard today a lot of discussion about broadening the base, if you would, reaching out. And I think that the statement at the end of this segment puts it very clearly. The legal side, thanks to the Heller case, I think is pretty well settled, that we have the right to bear arms. But as Nadine Strossen pointed out, the court also said that there is that does not preclude the regulation of that right. And I think that's the battle that we all face. And I want you to consider the fact that that battle is going to be won in the streets. It's going to be won with your friends, with your neighbors, and it's going to be won with communities like the LGBT community, where they are beginning to understand the value to themselves And if they can, then if you then extend it to the to a much higher percentage of the community, that can be a very important thing to us. Working with Alan Gottlieb, we are going to develop a activity which I'm asking all of you to participate in. January 2020, PBS will release this television series. We're going to develop plans for a series of town meetings all over the United States, in every state in the union, trying to involve every single gun club there is, every single sportsman's group, any groups, maybe Ducks Unlimited, who knows, that is interested enough that they will go ahead and arrange for local community meetings. And we hope at that time, those of you who are gun owners will bring a friend who is not necessarily not a gun owner and isn't quite certain about the value of those rights, and get into a national dialogue on the very important aspect of the Second Amendment to protect the thing that is the most value to each of us, our lives. Thank you. Register out there with our newsletter, and I hope to work with all of you.